Welcome to the Ask Wise Counsel Show with host John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel, which is an ongoing learning process for entrepreneurs of faith. John has spent more than 35 years helping over 400 CEOs and has written 300 books on how the Lord is using the hearts of business leaders and employees to build true wealth. Visit AskWiseCounsel.com for hundreds of resources and interviews to help you make the best business decisions. Let's join John and his guest co-host.
Well, good morning. This is John Beener. You're listening to the Ask Wise Counsel Show. We're excited to have you join us here today. Wise Counsel is a process that works with Christian entrepreneurs and CEOs and ministry leaders to help them grow their business and honor God in all that they do. So we invite you to join us for free, even partner with us on our website called AskWiseCounsel.com, AskWiseCounsel.com. We have hundreds of resources available to you and hope you that these are the kind of things that would be helpful in your work, in your job, in leading a company, being a good employee, having a good career, and honoring the Lord in all that you do. Today, we're very excited to have Collie Stoll join us. He is the founder of RPM Automotive, and he's come to be a co-host with me here this morning. Good morning, Collie.
Good morning, John. Pleasure to be with you here.
Great. Good to have you here. Thank you. We're going to interview Collie about RPM Automotive. They learn how they operate their business and what makes them unique and different. And then after that, we've got some questions from our listeners that Collie and I are going to attempt to answer. And then we're going to have some little outtakes of stories and testimonies of other men and women that have been leaders, like Dan Cathy and Steve Jobs and others that are share some of their faith and how they grow their business and those points. And so we have a lot of testimonies on our website. Again, we welcome you to go to that, AskWiseCounsel.com. There is even an opportunity for list your own testimony up there. So, Collie, tell us a little bit more about RPM, how you got started, and a quick overview of the company. I know you guys are outstanding. I mean, I have this image of you going into your locations. I know you have just opened your 10th location, but when I've been to the back room, I'm saying this can't be auto repair because you could eat off the floor. It is so clean. I've never been to a place like that. It had anything to do with cars. It was so clean. And how do you do that? How do you keep all that so clean? And how'd you even get started? Give us some overview of those kind of things.
Sure, John. My background was the traditional gas station with three bays type of facility where we were embedded into the neighborhoods and the communities. And so the core of what RPM stands for is being involved with the community first and foremost. Obviously, we repair cars, we do maintenance, we do the fundamental functions of keeping your car running soundly. But one of the key factors is, as you mentioned, we believe that cleanliness and honesty are, oddly enough, a competitive advantage that we have. We have always want to keep our core values of being involved in the community and being highly trained. We have all master certified ASE service technicians. We have we try and make the environment just friendly and helpful, as you would expect to go to the doctor or dentist or any professional. We want to maintain that professional environment, and we want to be there to help our customers in any way that we can with their automotive needs.
That's great. Well, I know that it must be tough when you just open a new location. It must be tough. Where's that new location at?
Yeah, the new location is on I-95 and 210 in St. John's County. Okay. It's just east of 95, probably 100 yards off of the ramp. It's right near the Pilot and McDonald's there at the intersection.
Okay.
We're excited to be in that area of St. John's County. We're excited. The communities that we are in, we like getting involved, as I said, and we've been received very open-armed. And we just opened this week, so we've already had people, you know, that have been lined up to come in. Just the excitement that is on a new opening.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. How do you find these guys, these technicians, engineers? And I know you train them well. And I mean, all certified people, so that must be tough when you open a new business.
It is. We're very blessed. We have high standards, obviously. So the people that we do a lot of interviews, we're very glad to be a part of that process. And when a person comes to interview for a position with us, they usually go through four or five interviews, starting at the manager of facility and going through operations, and quite often even getting to myself or one of the partners. And as I said, the standard, we're looking for the characters that are not only qualified in their skill set, but that are people of integrity, the people that have high ethics and standards. And we believe that we're kind of a oasis for a lot of people who are out there looking for that type of an environment, almost a team or a family type of environment. So with our training program, we do a mentoring. Obviously, a lot of people that come to us are highly skilled. We do conventional training, which is through webinars and class environments that are sponsored by the various manufacturers. We also do mentoring for the younger people. There's some Votech schools that are out there that will get these guys that believe that they want to go into a certain field, and they give them a lot of the book education. And so we have a mentoring program that's a two-year program that people will come through, and they'll kind of work along the side of a master tech. And by the time they get through a series, they become quite skilled in what they do.
I bet they do, yeah. Well, you got incredible customer service when you walk in the door, the way people treat you, and they don't have grease on their fingers, and a beautiful lobby. Again, how do you train? How do you find outstanding people that have such personality and warmth when you come in and get greeted by them? And then they seem to connect really well with the technicians in the back. It's amazing.
It's hard. We really try to hire for the frontline people, for the service riders, service managers. We try and hire nice people. Obviously, their skill set has to be what their skill set needs to be able to communicate and articulate, you know, the needs of the customer. And when you're talking about some of the technology within the cars, it's kind of hard. We try and make it in practical application terms, like identifying, you know, with your body, your heart is the pump, the valve that pumps the blood through your system. And we might, associate that with the computer system, with the network within the computer system. So we try and find nice people to meet at the front, and the environment, you know, we'd like to have it that it doesn't feel like you're at a repair facility. It feels more like you're at a doctor's office or a dentist's office, where you walk in and you have pleasant environments.
That's definitely the way it is. Yeah. Outstanding. I've been there many times and appreciate. There's another thing you've emphasized to me, a concern, is that you don't want to start giving people things they don't need for their car. You know, I mean, what do you call that again in the business?
Upselling.
Upselling. Yeah. Evidently a lot of people do that in the industry, but you try to guard yourself from doing that. How do you do that? What you do a diagnosis on the car to begin with, beyond
right.
what just somebody brings it in for, or
right.
What
we do is we only want to upsell integrity and safety. We don't bonus our people in accordance to, or put a standard that you must sell 10 of these or 5 of those. We say we want to have. So, for instance, when John Beaner brings his car in and he says, I need it checked over, the technician who checks it over is not incentivized by selling you a laundry list. What we will do is we will get whatever is needed, whatever we see from a professional standpoint, our observations, and we will break it down and we'll say, these three items need to be dealt with within the next 6 months, and these three items you can wait and for the next year. And so we try and help you plan out your warranty and your strategy for your vehicle, because your vehicle is a big part of your life. I mean, it gets you from point A to point B. It's one of the major expenses in your life. And usually when you come to us, you're not, unless it's for a maintenance item, it's not a happy moment. So we try and take that situation, whether you get towed in or something, and make it as painless as possible. Yeah. Obviously, something's broken and something has caused you grief, so we want to kind of help buffer that a little bit.
Sure, right. Well, there's also the whole thing about diagnostics is coming into play in the future. I know you've told me a little bit about that. You might share a little bit on how is that going to happen. And let me ask another question before we get too far into that one. But you service any kind of car, don't you? I mean, are there any exceptions, even trucks as well, or no?
Yeah, well, basically everything under one ton, okay. Which is, you know, the heavy-duty kind of truck.
Okay.
But we do all makes and all models. We have invested a lot of time and energy and money into keeping up with the technology. We get the latest and greatest diagnostic scanners and equipment that each manufacturer has a little idiosyncrasy to what they do with their diagnosing of their vehicles. So it's a very large commitment that RPM has made. We have committed to train and buy the equipment necessary to properly work on everyone's car, because what generally happens with our target market, what generally happens is we have a father, mother, and a couple kids, and the father drives a Tahoe, and the mother drives a BMW, and the kid drives a Honda, and the daughter drives a Ford, and we want to be able to be your total car care needs, so for your whole family, so that you can bring everybody's car in. And the beauty of going back to the roots of RPM is you bring your car in and you say, this is what's going on, and you with confidence know that we're not going to try and take advantage of that situation, that we're going to say, this is what's broken, and this is what we see, and this is what we recommend.
Good.
And from that's that good. Point, we're what you might call one-stop shopping.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned to me real briefly, Ken, because we're getting shorter on time, but on tell me about some of the diagnostic things that are coming down the road that your guys are innovating with.
Right. Well, not only the diagnostic scanners that I just mentioned, but there's a technology called telematics, and telematics is basically onboard computer systems that do diagnostics and they're networking, just like a large network in your computer at home. If you had multiple portals, it would communicate with each one. So this diagnostic process goes through, and for instance, just the triggering of your check engine light, what does that mean? So you might say, well, what does that mean? And telematics, what it can do and what we're working with designing is the ability to be able to take that data and ping it up to the cloud, and then it drops down and notifies us and notifies you that you have a check engine light or your battery's low or it's time for servicing, and then you would be notified via phone or email or what have you that it's getting time or this
wow.
has happened.
That's
pretty
amazing.
So we're on cutting edge of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. How do you see the Lord? I mean, how has he played such a role in your business? And in a quick way, how can you describe that for us?
Well, from the very beginning, our byline is car care with integrity. And I believe that the Lord has made my mission field my business and my community. And so because of that, I take it very serious that we want to represent God properly in everything that we do. Not that we're perfect, but that we want to represent God first and foremost. We want to be, our mission statement is shelter from the storm. And shelter from the storm, we want to be shelter for our customers first, our employees, and our suppliers. So shelter from the storm, as I said earlier, when you're having a bad day and your car is broken or you get a flat tire or whatever, you need an ally, and we want to be that ally. So we believe that the Lord has, in a practical way, enabled us to be a part of a team that will be there for you and try and serve you.
That's great. Yeah. So that means that you're praying for your customers,
yes,
your suppliers, and employees all the time, and you have a staff of people I know doing that as well. And so, we're talking a little bit about your chaplaincy program later on in the show, but let's go ahead and we'll move on. We've got some listeners out there that have written into us. And so you and I are going to get a chance to answer some of their questions, as well as we're going to use some outside clips, audio clips of some of the information and content that we have on our website from Dan Cathy in this first one, as well as Steve Jobs. And but let's go ahead and get this first question on the table here. And this is from Sean. He writes, you know, I'm considering to bring in a partner who will provide capital and be involved in the operation of my business. Is that a practical idea? And this is point he's made. Last point he makes is, I have built everything by myself so far. Again, as a guy who has worked with over 400 different entrepreneurs, I see it all the time, and I've thought of it myself too. Boy, wouldn't you like somebody else to help shoulder this burden with me? Because it gets heavy in business, doesn't it, after a while?
Yes.
You feel like you're alone at the top, and sometimes you can't always share it with people in ways that you want to. But anyway, so both of us can relate to that question, right? But I would say this from a few things that I've seen. I've seen very few partnerships actually ever work in the businesses that I've been involved in and helped through the years. And the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. In other words, it's when you bring on a partner, what happens is you kind of risk whether or not that partner thinks the same way you do, or even has the same values or principles. And again, whether he serves the Lord in the same intent. A lot of people say they're a Christian, but it doesn't mean they walk that talk, you know, and it's a journey to do that. So that is a concern. Can you be equally yoked with this person? Second thing I would say is be very careful with making partnership decisions. You got to really do a lot of homework, just like interviewing outstanding employees, somebody would turn over a managerial role too. You know, you want to have ask a lot of questions and make sure, and even check references. Even having a buyout clause and defining performance issues and standards that you're going to live by. And if the partnership doesn't work out, then there's an exit strategy for that individual. And, of course, partnerships work a whole lot easier when everybody's making money, right? They get stinky when the business is having trouble. You know, it sounds like he's got a situation where things aren't great, and he's been in debt. It looks sin indicates here, but the whole point is that it's easier when you're making money. And obviously, one other way to consider this is actually what I call partnering with your employees. That doesn't necessarily mean financially, but taking them in as a team and working in an operational methodology, something we won't get into detail here. But Collie, you've had real experiences with partnerships. I mean, you're one of the few people that I know that has done an excellent job there in bringing in partners. And you've had them partners in different ways. Sometimes they're financial partners, sometimes even real estate, sometimes they're actually involved in the operation. Tell a little bit about that and how that's worked for you. I mean, are you strong on partnerships or what?
I'm pretty strong on the right partnership. I wouldn't want to make a blanket statement. I think that you have to go into, just like any relationship, especially a long-term one and a legal one as a business partnership, I think it has to be first and foremost very much prayerfully entered into. I think that as long as the definition and the roles are defined clearly as to what is expected and what is hoped for, and that the vision is similar, I think that it can work. Obviously, it's worked in my life. One of my primary partner is Gary Schumacher, and Gary and I, before we became partners, prayed and met with each other for over a year, just kind of dating and just kind of saying, you know, are these our life's interests and goals and business interests and goals, and created that friendship and that common denominator of being like-minded. And, you know, we have some minor fractional partners too that are just long-term employees, as you said, John, that can bring something to the table. They have a vested interest, and time is a vested interest. So if we allow people to have somewhat control of their destiny in their business world, I think that that's a good thing. I believe that just like the scriptures talk about a body ministry, I think we need a group of body ministry in business to that people can communicate and help to row the boat, as it were, down. And we, having a philosophical belief of that and in practical application, can sometimes be a little tough. But if you're committed to doing it and you identify it to the best of your ability, and I love the name of your company, Wise Counsel. I think if you seek wise counsel from people who are loved and respected in your life and have a skill set that you have identified to be wise counsel, I think you can get wise counsel. And so I value that aspect. I value what my partners bring to the table, and I think that we together are stronger than me by myself. So I am a believer in partnership.
That's good. That's good. Let's just take a little minute here to listen to what Dan Cathy has to say about what he calls the enhancement factor in his business. It's really his view on how he gets his people engaged as a company, and that's where you can partner with your employees. You don't have to partner with outside people who bring in capital all the time, but you can get your employees involved to the point where they really are on board together, and that helps the efficiency and helps to be more profitable. In fact, we'll go ahead and play this 2-minute clip here of Dan Cathy. This is an interview we did about 6 or 7 years ago with Dan, part of what we called the Ask God About Your Business series. So listen to hear what Dan has to say.
You know, we're made in God's image, and you know, there's a spiritual dimension of what's taking place here, and that you know, whether it's students or adults today realize how precious life is, and there needs to be a purpose or a meaning. You send a soldier to Iraq without talking about purpose and meaning, it's not going to be a soldier that's going to be going over the hill. You got to talk about purpose and meaning if you're going to capture people's hearts and their minds and their spirits. It takes kind of the total person to survive in the free market economy as it is out there. And unless we understand and talk about a business in the context of a purpose and a meaning that goes beyond the P&L and, you know, answering the reports of shareholders or stock analysts in New York, then I think we're missing the boat entirely.
Excellent point, yeah.
Yeah, and I think effective leaders today draw and tie together the personal ambitions that people have for their life, and they knit together that personal purpose of heart and passion with other people, and they share it in such a compelling way that you know, people want to be there forever. Today's vernacular through the Gallup organization, they refer to the engagement factor. And that engagement factor really is a measure of the emotional strength of an organization. And so we put a lot of focus on understanding our mission and our purpose at Chick-fil-A. And as a result, the Gallup people told us that we got the highest engagement score they've ever seen in their 20 years they've been doing this particular survey, because we've been focused on it and we haven't changed over the years.
Wow. Well, that's great.
All right. Hopefully you got some good ideas from that. Obviously, Chick-fil-A is a phenomenal story. And if you want to hear the whole interview with Dan Cathy, which goes on for about 40 minutes, it's on our website, askwisecounsel.com. And love to have you go there. You can join for free. So love to have you do that. We've been listening to the Ask Wise Counsel show. And again, we're going to take a break right now and catch up on the news and other information for you. But we'll be back in a few minutes here.
Character first. Over the last 40 years, the oil industry has had a number of booms and busts, which have made it very difficult for Tom Hill to keep his people motivated to the highest level of productivity and quality. Tom Hill runs Kimray, a $100 million third-generation manufacturing firm with as many as 500 employees in Oklahoma City. They manufacture regulators and control valves for the oil industry. More than the ups and downs of the business, Tom noticed the attitudes and work ethics of those he hired never seemed to be as good as years earlier. He began to work with Bill Gothard of the Institute for Basic Life Principles in Oak Brook, Illinois, and they developed a program called Character First. They identified 49 biblical character traits, some might call them attitudes, that apply to everyday life, such as wisdom, flexibility, punctuality, thoroughness, initiative, dependability, compassion, and loyalty. Their belief is that people will repeat behavior that is praised, as taught in Ken Blanchard's One Minute Manager, approach of catching people doing things right. Over the last 4 years, employees have been recognized in monthly company meetings, not for their individual performance, but for exhibiting special character contribution to the company's success. Supervisors present the awards and describe the character exhibited by the individual. As their concept developed, they started using the same traits in their hiring practice. The concept seems to be working because personnel problems are down 80%. Profit margins are up, sales are up, and profits are at record levels, even though the cost of raw materials and labor have increased significantly. They had an 80% reduction in work compensation costs, and employee bonuses last year were 12.5% of their annual salary. Kimray has dropped its quality control program and became a leader in its industry by having the highest warranties and fewest returns. But even more satisfying to Tom Hill is the morale difference that he notices in his people. He believes that my purpose is to honor my creator and use my business to serve my employees and their families, building their character, strengthening them as individuals, and nurturing their household. No, he hasn't forgotten the customer or making a profit. They are just not number one on his list of priorities. They are number 1A. He has also begun a movement to teach other companies how to adopt these principles in their own businesses. Tom says, "Character and attitude start from within a person's heart. They are more fundamental than attempting to manipulate behavior from the top down. Many people today are not taught the same character traits in the home as they were in the 1950s. It is part of our purpose and what God has laid on my heart to do. We've got to do our part to rebuild America's fiber."
Well, welcome back. This is John Beaner with the Ask Wise Counsel Show, and I'm here with Colly Stoll, our co-host for the day, and we're excited that you've joined us. Again, we work with Christian entrepreneurs, help them grow their business and ministry, and RPM is a great example of that. So we're honored to have them here today. We've got one other clip that's, I think, relates very well to this whole subject too, building a company around partnership, getting people involved. And this is another man, all of us would might call him a Christian, but I think God uses all kinds of people. They don't have to be, it doesn't say in the Bible you have to be committed to Jesus Christ to be successful in business. Because God has a calling and a purpose. He's moving the world forward. But Steve Jobs has made a tremendous impact on our society and even the world and through the innovations and the ideas and the visions that he's gathered. And I believe God's used him, you know, for that purpose. And so here's a little clip of him talking about the passion for your business and a calling to love what you're doing. Let's just listen to what Steve has to say here.
People say you have to have a lot of passion for what you're doing, and it's totally true. And the reason is because it's so hard that if you don't, any rational person would give up. It's really hard, and you have to do it over a sustained period of time. So if you don't love it, if you're not having fun doing it, and you don't really love it, you're going to give up. And that's what happens to most people, actually. If you really look at the ones that ended up, you know, being successful, unquote, in the eyes of society and the ones that didn't. Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit because they're sane, right? Who would want to put up with this stuff if you don't love it? So it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of worrying constantly. And if you don't love it, you're going to fail. So you got to love it. You got to have passion.
Okay, for the rest of the story, what Steve Jobs has to say, we have three or four other clips of what Steve Jobs has said about passion and about vision and calling. Again, it's easy to quit if you haven't got that imprint of the calling of God on your life. I know plenty of people that want to worship how much money you can make in a business, and that's a good thing. Ultimately, it can take you down, and greed can be a problem. So anyway, for the rest of that story and other interviews, go to our website called AskWiseCounsel.com. All right, here, we got another question here, Collie, that we can answer. This is going to be pretty easy, I think, for you. Anyway, this is a guy named Rick who says, how do I share my faith with my employees and even my customers? And my comments are, one way you can share it, okay, initially, is by walking your talk, And you talked about it in your business, Collie, is having integrity and being an example, being a role model, do what you say you'll do, That's what my dad always said, be a man of character. And the Bible is full of the character examples of God. In fact, we have that in a lot of our teachings and are all there on our website. So what other people have said, we've all heard it. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads. In other words, just reading your actions and being a role model and even mentoring to people. And what I've always done is I've prayed at meetings, before meetings, and I don't ask permission. I don't worry about whether everybody's on board with me or not or agrees with me. But I'm asking God to move in me and through our team of people. And I've seen changes in people's lives because of that little example. But again, I've seen the Holy Spirit do the work that needs to be done. Now, I know, Collie, in your business, you've done something very unique and been inspired by a guy named Mike Snyder, who we'll have a chance to hear here in a minute. But tell us a little bit about the chaplaincy program or how you, again, share your faith in your business.
Right. Obviously, walking the talk, John, is key and critical. And I also believe that a openness to, even as a CEO, to be able to repent to your people shows integrity and shows humility that if you never say, I'm sorry, I think that's a limited, access to a relationship. If it's, I'm always right and you're always going to be obedient, I think that's kind of tough. But I think that you have to have that openness and opportunity. And so concerning opportunity, had on my heart, how can I affect in a very practical way the needs of my employees, Christian and non-Christian, because we all have needs. And I talked to Mike Snyder concerning his chaplaincy program that he had in prior years done some research and gotten some resources and started his chaplaincy program. Well, I had a guy named Ray McConnell who was a missionary, and his actual ministry is kind of counseling mission people. As those of you are familiar with, and are involved with your church's mission ministries, these guys go out and they're boots on the ground in a sometimes very tough environment. And a lot of times their sacrifices are made with their family and their relationships to their family. And so he's got a niche and he's also trained. He has his master's degree in counseling, but he has a God-given ability to minister to people in a very real and practical way. Well, concerning the chaplaincy, I asked him if he would consider being available, make himself available to my employees just to go visit them and just pop in and walk around and just see how on a non-threatening, the mission is not, I'm going to push Jesus down your throat, but it's just, I want to be your friend. I want to be here for you. I want to be available to you because life is full of trials and tribulations. You might have a need. And if you have a need, Ray is available, or our chaplaincy is available, so that he will make himself accessible. And I think a lot of times with sharing your faith, sharing your beliefs, is being accessible. And so through the chaplaincy program, we've got a non-threatening way, in a professional way, to make ourselves available to whether you have children problems or wife problems or just self problems, you're identifying what you're going through as a person, to have a resource that you can confidently and articulate and take some time out. You know, we will give time off. If someone needs to have a talk with our chaplain, then we will schedule it to where they can have time off during the day and not be penalized.
That's great. Well, that I can see where that's going to lead some people to get back into church if they aren't there already, you know what I mean, or pursue the Lord in a deeper way, start to get into the Word again through his counseling. You know, it's got to be encouraging and uplifting. Mike Snyder is who colleague was referring to. Mike is and his wife Terry founded the Loop Restaurant, which has been a very successful enterprise of about 30 different restaurants in this area and around other parts of the Southeast. And Mike was an atheist and for many years, while his wife was really committed to the Lord, and she was bugging him, he was bugging her, and it was a tough time. But we had Mike share some of his testimony. So at one of our meetings called Marketplace Witness. So let's see if we can join in with that story Mike's telling about some of the trials and how he came to Christ, but then he's talking also about how he was led into starting his chaplaincy program, which has been a model for many other companies, and Collie is one of them, and at RPM Automotive. So let's go ahead and listen to what Mike has to say.
We started a chaplaincy program years ago, maybe 10 years ago, for the Loop Restaurants, and we are trying to encourage all of our franchisees to do the same. We have had some franchisees that did institute it, but so far, right now, it's just the corporate restaurants. But that's a great ministry that we're real proud of.
And that's exciting, because as people come in, I mean, these chaplains are really there bussing tables, right, and sharing with the staff, and because you have a lot of turnover in a restaurant, as much as 300% turnover in some of these restaurants around the country. So it's a great time to witness to kids and help them, pray for them, encourage them. And so that's an exciting program.
Okay, thanks. Again, you were listening to Mike Snyder, founder of the Loop Restaurant, with his wife Terry. And I heard Mike say at another meeting where we had him speak, and that was that the best decision he ever made in business was starting a chaplaincy program, because it gave him a sense of fulfillment beyond just making money, because he struggled with the whole idea of even staying in business once he came to Christ, you know, which was an amazing experience. Again, for the whole testimony and the whole story, you can go to our website called Ask Wise Counsel. In fact, if you have a testimony you want to include on our website, we're open to that. And for a small fee, we'll put it up there and have it available to other people. So there's one, you know, Collie, you talked about community involvement and how to get, how that has had an impact on the community, but also on your business, because you build relationships with kids in schools and parents at PTA meetings and activities and baseball teams and all the things you've sponsored through the years. Well, we had a speaker at one of our boot camp meetings about 6 or 7 years ago, whose name was David Hill. And David is an amazing individual who came to Christ. His father committed suicide, and because of a woman he met in a restaurant that day, he was so depressed. She was depressed too. She had just had lost her husband and other family members in a car accident. Anyway, he really had a life-changing experience and realized, he gave her a $100 tip, that what happened is that she changed his life. And he got him into a mode of doing random acts of kindness. So he has built his whole business in Wichita, Kansas, which is a it's an unusual contracting business. One of them has plumbers, he has drywall people, he has electricians that all come and repair homes and service. But he has well over 100 employees, but they do all kinds of things. So we're going to listen to some of the things that they do in their business as part of the ministry. We're going to listen to a little clip here of him talking. Again, another thing that's on our website that you can go listen to at the Ask Wise Counsel site. But let's play that right now.
Hi, everybody. It's Dave with OneSpark. I'm the founder and head custodian. So many people ask us, what is OneSpark and what does OneSpark do? OneSpark is an organization that basically teaches people how to be kind. We know that quantifiably, kindness can cure the world of a lot of ugliness. What do we do? Well, we've come up with a little way to show you what we do. Last year, we gave out 940 gallons of fuel to people that either ran out of gas or were in strong need of fuel to get home. We provided Christmas gifts for 3,128 families through our Santa's Workshop program. We can't do that without your help. We have given out over 4,000 items of clothing to homeless and needy people. Listen, it is going to be a brutal winter. We need your items of clothing, and I'll tell you why. See this little backpack here? That's our Backpacks of Hope. The Backpacks of Hope program has hats and gloves and little treats to eat. This backpack represents their home. So we need your backpack. It could be old, a little beat up, a little tattered, but you know what? It's perfect for them. So help us with our Backpacks of Hope. We hope to get in 10,000 backpacks and go across the United States. We help 201 homeless people get off the streets. We don't believe in giving them a fish constantly. We want to give them the fishing pole and the bait and teach them to go fish for themselves. We helped 18,601 kids with cancer through our Covers for Cancer program and through our various gifting programs that helps them with fuel or other needs that they may have. It also encompasses our boxes of hope and boxes of love that we send toys and gifts to kids that are fighting the beast called cancer. Kids that are not being bullied anymore through our School Sparks program. That's a huge number. We don't go in talking about bullying. We talk about the power of kindness. Kids that did not commit suicide through our School Sparks program. That's a huge deal. If you want some letters from kids that did not commit suicide, bring us up and we'll send them to you. Kids that are no longer being bullied. How do we stop that? By infusing kindness within the school. We have a unique program that works. Kids that took a pledge not to drink. So if they're not drinking, they're not drinking and driving. Look at the statistics for kids that are drinking and driving in accidents. We spoke to 100,000 kids plus through our School Sparks program. We do not charge a dime to go into a school. We know that if the school works with us, the program will work. We gave out 623 boxes of love to our military and kids with cancer and other kids that are sick, fighting many diseases. We have fed over 15,000 homeless people last year. That is phenomenal. We don't feed junk. We feed meals that are organic pork or high-quality pork that we slow cook for 20 hours. So when you look at what we do, we give them a great warm meal. Those same people helped us, the homeless, that some of you look down upon, helped us paint 83 homes for people that are indigent or don't have money. The last thing I want to talk to you about is we changed 156 tires for people that were broke down. When you ask what OneSpark is, it's hard to define because we basically fill whatever needs out there. We need you, we need your help to continue to fund what we do. Here's what you don't know. OneSpark has no paid employees. For every dollar that's given to OneSpark, we touch almost 25 lives. That's unheard of. We don't have administrative expenses. The building that we're in is paid for by another business. So everything we do, right down to the secretary, works for the other company, but she answers the OneSpark line. Think about the next time that you have an opportunity to give, Where is your dollars going to make the most sense? We hope that you'll choose us when you're having a thought about giving. Listen, I hope the holiday season is wonderful for you, wonderful for you. Please take this time and pass this video on.
Okay, amazing list of things that they're involved with, how they're giving back to the community. Again, random acts of kindness. And I've heard Dave say, this is what's built my business, is our proactive way that we're involved in the community and help people. And now I understand they're in 60 other foreign countries as well as being very deeply involved there in Wichita. And he said at our meeting that his business was growing 45% a year. Now, I can't imagine anybody keeping that up every year because that's like doubling every 2 years. Again, it's the random act of kindness. It's a God plan. It's a God plan. The more you give to people, the more they give back. And it's a win-win in our community and anybody's community. You guys have done a lot of things like that. Kali, you want to hitchhike on that?
Well, yeah, as we were talking earlier, John, that we believe very much in giving back to the community and being very active in a very real way. And usually, as any relationship, as you build a relationship with the community, it's going to take sacrifices, it's going to take faith, it's going to take that giving mindset. And we, as part of a company that's involved with Jacksonville and its community, we want to be that example of what a business should be in the community. And we want to make sure that that people know that we are here to be a servant and to be part of that.
Yeah, and you guys are great examples of that. It's amazing. Wonderful story of RPM Automotive. Again, this has been Kali Stoll, my co-host here today on the Ask Wise Counsel show. Again, I'm John Beaner. I founded Wise Counsel 15 years ago here in this Northeast Florida, and we have over 38 different entrepreneurs, ministry leaders, CEOs of companies involved in a roundtable process, helps them make decisions. We pray together as well as we bring in a lot of outside speakers that interject their faith as well as their business skills to learn from. Again, if you want to share your testimony with us, you can go to our website. You can join for free. It's called AskWiseCounsel.com. For a small fee, we can put your testimony up there and share it monthly with people. And again, Kali, thank you so much for joining us. Again, Kali Stoll, founder of RPM Automotive. And if you need your car looked at, assessed, or valued, they're the place to go because they're the most professional people, I believe, in Jacksonville, is able to service every kind of car and make there is. We have one other thing that we're working to promote and learn about. We're looking for the best businesses on a mission. If you know a company or work in a company that's doing outstanding things like RPM is, we want to know about that company. We'd like you to nominate them on our Best Business on a Mission site. And you go to the Wise Counsel site, you'll be able to find it as well there. We want to hear from you. We want to have your involvement in this show and learn from you as well, and learn from other businesses and see how we can help communicate to more people how to effectively run a business for Jesus Christ and have joy, peace, and love in your life at the same time, and profitability. All right. Again, this is John Beaner. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Ask Wise Counsel show. Until next week, we look forward to the opportunity to share with you then. Thank you.